Blog Talk Radio. With prayer. Amen. So I'm trusting For those of you that know how we do it, already got your prayer list. Those of you that don't, go ahead and get your prayer list, for we are our brothers and sisters keepers. We ought to pray one for another. So come on, just grab your prayer list and let's go before the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of kings and Lords of lords, and there is no other God but you. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our Creator. And we say thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness and those that we're praying for. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trust. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, you see all prayer lists raised before you this day, Lord, hands being laid upon prayer lists this day, Lord. Father God, you know each and every person name by name upon our prayer lists, Lord. Father God, some ask for prayer for themselves, some ask for prayer for others, Lord. Heavenly Father, we're thanking you and glorifying you right now, Lord Father, that your will be done in each and every one of their lives this day, Lord. Father, as we pray for salvation, we pray for healing, Lord. Father, we pray for guidance. Father, you know what they're in need of. We say thank you. Father God, look upon each and every prayer warrior, watchman, Lord Father, intercessor, leader that are standing in the gap, Lord Father God, for others this day, Lord. Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over them from the crown of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet. Father God, I ask you, Lord Father, to keep the hedge of protection round about them this day, Lord, and no weapons that is formed against them, O God, shall prosper. I ask you, O God, to continue to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate them, Lord. Father God, take them to a place in you this day, Lord Father. And Father, we say thank you. For Father, we take them not for granted, O God. For Father, people have entrusted, Lord Father, your men and women of God, Lord Father, with their prayers this day, Lord Father, to help them this day, to pray with them, Lord Father, and for them as well, Lord Father. And Father, we're thanking you right now that you're hearing and answering prayers this day. For nothing is too hard for you, O God, and we say thank you. We thank you, O Lord, for each and every listener, those that are listening now, those that are listening at a later date, Lord Father. We thank you for them, Lord Father. We thank you for meeting their needs this day, O God. Father God, we're thanking you for those, Lord Father, that give their life, Lord Father God, to you this day, because they refuse to go to a Christless grave, Lord Father. Someone's prayers was answered that their loved one, Lord Father, came into the knowledge of you and accepted you this day as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we say thank you. We're thanking you for them in advance, Lord Father, and we're thanking you, Lord Father, for just putting your arms around them, Lord Father, knowing, O God, that you're merciful, you're loving, and you're a God of many chances, Lord Father. We're thanking you and glorifying you this day, Lord. Father, we thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, being able to do, O God, not just for ourselves, O God, but for others as well, Lord. So, Father, we're thanking you this day, O God, for hearing and answering prayers. Heavenly Father, I hold before you Fred, Lord. And Father, we pray in right now, O God, for his deliverance this day, Lord, Father, and for his salvation this day, Lord. Father, we know that nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Father, you have done it for us, and we know you can do it for him as well, Lord, Father. Father, we're thanking you for changing his mindset this day, Lord, Father. And Father God, We come against the spirit of distraction and all the tentacles that go along with it right now, that comes with him, and render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we're thanking you for change right now, transformation in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Caitlin, Lord Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. Father God, you have brought her through a double mastectomy, Lord Father, stomach cancer, Lord Father, and we know that nothing is too hard for you this day, Lord Father. So, Father, as we hold her before you, Father God, see the blood covering her, Lord Father. Father, as we speak healing right now to her body, as we touch and agree with her, praying for her and with her this day, Lord, thanking you right now for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Spurgeon Walters, Lord, and we plead the blood of Jesus over him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet. Father God, you brought him back from stage 4 cancer, Lord Father. And we know, Lord Father, that still nothing is too hard for you, Lord. So, Father, as we hold him before you, Lord Father, we continue to speak healing, Lord Father. Healing to his body right now from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet. Touch his immune system this day, Lord Father. Father, you say healing is the children's bread. And, Father, we're thanking you and glorifying you, Lord, for your healing, Lord. We're thanking you, O Lord, for your will being done in the name of Jesus. Father God, touch his wife, Lois, this day, Lord, Father. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. Father God, we're thanking you right now for your supernatural strength, Lord, Father. Father God, peace, Lord, Father, that pass all understanding, Lord, Father, resting in her this day, Lord, Father. We're thanking you, O God, for watching over her this day in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Pastor Diana Dungy, Lord, and we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the crown of her head, Father God, to the soles of her feet. And we say no weapons that is formed against her, O God, shall prosper. Father, we're thanking you for seeing the hedge of protection round about her, Lord. Father God, as we send forth healing to her body, Lord, Father. Father God, allow her healing and ministering angels, Lord, Father, to rest, rule, and abide in and through her this day, Lord, Father. We're thanking you for touching her, Lord. We're thanking you for your supernatural strength this day, Lord, Father. We're thanking you, O God, for her body lining up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. For, Father, we take no one and nothing for granted, Lord, Father. We thank you, O God, for the opportunity to pray one for another, Lord, Father. Father, we're thanking you, Lord, Father, each and every day, Lord, Father, for a prayer request, a praise report, Lord, Father. We're thanking you and glorifying you, Lord. Now, Father, we hold before you our children and grandchildren, O God. Father God, as they're in school this day and on their way to school, Lord, see the blood covering them, Lord. Father, we cancel in their assignment of the enemy right now, rendering it null and void as we come against school, shooting, Lord, Father, bullying, trafficking, child molestation, Lord, Father, and all the tentacles that go along with it. We're rendering it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. See the blood covering, Lord, Father God, the schools right now, Lord, Father, shielding and protecting our children and grandchildren, Lord. Father God, even on the bus this day, Lord, Father, we're thanking you for traveling mercies this day, O God. O God, as we hold before you, Lord, all forms of transportation, Lord, Father. Father, we hold before you this day, Lord, Father God, all forms of the military branches this day, Lord. Father God, we're praying this day for our loved ones this day, O God. Father God, for your goodness and your mercy, O God, seeing the blood covering them, Lord, Father. Father, we're praying, Lord, Father, for safety, Lord, Father God, for them, Lord. Father God, those that have been deployed, Lord, Father. We're thanking you right now, Lord Father, for your blood covering them, Lord Father. Not just them, Lord Father, their unit, Lord Father. Bring them back home safely this day, Lord. Father, those, Lord Father God, that lost their life, Lord Father God, in that drone attack, Lord Father, in the armed forces this day, Lord Father. Father, comfort their families this day, Lord Father. Father, it's time now for your saints to begin to rise up, Lord, and wage war in the heavenlies like never before, Lord. Father God, knowing it's praying time and not playing time this day, Lord Father, let them begin to war and intercede, Lord Father God, not just on their loved ones' behalf, Lord, but Father God, for their nation this day, Lord Father, for their city, their state, their neighborhoods this day, Lord Father. Let them not be caught sleeping this day, Lord Father, but pray, Lord Father, in season and out of season this day, O God. Now, Father God, as we prepare, Lord Father God, for the word to come forth, Lord, I hold before you the speaker of the hour, Pastor Carl Boland, this day, Lord. And I plead the blood of Jesus over him from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet. And I said, no weapons that is formed against him, O God, shall prosper, Lord. Father God, we're thanking you for what you have done for him, doing and about to do for him, Lord Father. Father, use him mightily, Lord Father God, in this broadcast at this time, Lord Father. Father God, give the people the ears to hear, O God, and the heart to receive the word, Lord. Father God, I ask you to keep that hedge of protection around about him this day, Lord Father. See the blood covering him this day, Lord, as he let go and let you, Lord, Father God, have your perfect way in him, Lord. Father God, as you bring forth the message that you have given him for your people this day, Lord. Father, we say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for the privilege to hear the word, Lord, Father. For, Father, when the word can no longer come forth this way, Lord, Father. Father, we ask you for mercy in this time, Lord, Father. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, Father, to use Pastor Boland this day, Lord, Father, as we speak healing and deliverance going forth, Lord, Father, through these airways this day, Lord, to those that are listening now, those that would listen at a later date, Lord. Father God, let the message, Lord, Father, touch them, Lord, Father, transform them this day, Father God, that they may run to you, Lord Father, and accept you into their life this day as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we give you all honor, glory, and praise. And Father, we cancel every and any assignment that was sent towards this broadcast, Lord Father, to try and hinder anyone listening or speaking on this broadcast, Lord. And we render their assignment null and void right now in the name of Jesus. For we thank you for seeing the blood covering the airways, Lord Father. Father, the speaker this day, Lord Father, we're thanking you and glorifying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will and shall rejoice. We will and shall rejoice, because if it was not for God on our side today, we would not have been here. He gave us another chance. He woke us up this morning, clothing our right mind. We ought to give God praise, just even for opening up your eyes. Can you imagine those that are in comas right now? Those that have a machine breathing for them, and we have breath in our body, the use of our limbs, we're able to do for ourselves, and yet some of us can't even praise God. Thank God today and take nothing and no one for granted. Amen. Let me give you the word for today. And go ahead and bring forward the speaker of the hour. Amen. Believe in yourself and all that you are. Know that there is something inside you that is greater than any obstacle. Believe in yourself and all that you are, know that there is something inside you that is greater than any obstacle. And we know that the greater one dwells where? Within us. Amen. We are our brothers and sisters keepers, and we are to pray one for another. Now, as the speaker of the hour comes forth, I tell you, this is an awesome man of God. He don't allow nothing to stop him from doing God's work. For those of you that do not know him, I know I can call and Pastor Bolin and say, Pastor Bolin, I'm in need of prayer. Could you touch and agree with me? And he is right there with me. I have never met Pastor Bolin outside of talking to him on the phone. But let me tell you something. Nobody can tell me that this man is not my brother's keeper, because he are his brother and sister keeper. And we draw strength from one another. Remember, iron sharpens iron. God is awesome. He is an awesome and powerful God, and I just love the way how God used him. So if you have not, call your friend to let your friend know that, hey, come on and hear this awesome message. Do so this time. For those of you that are listening on another device and you need to ask a question, clarification, and what Pastor Bolin is saying, or you want to give your life to Christ this day, and you're not afraid or ashamed of who here or who, you know, is listening, the calling number is 347-857-3925. And press the number 1. You can even call in and encourage Pastor Bolin, because I know one day he'll give his testimony over this broadcast on what God have done and continue to do for him. Amen. So I will now decrease and bring forth to you the speaker of the hour, Pastor Carl Bolin.
Amen, amen. I am there. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Amen, amen. I thank the Lord, amen, for Minister Diane this morning. I thank the Lord for another opportunity to be before God's people. I am especially excited. You know, I've learned, Minister Diane, that when I'm about to do a teaching or when I'm preaching somewhere, and I talked to God about this years ago, and God has always confirmed what I'm about to preach or teach. And I tell you, I could basically give you the scripture and read it, but you were all in and out of my text. And I'm just excited because I believe I have the right word this morning. And then let me say this to everyone that is listening this morning. You know, we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And as Minister Diane had said, I have yet to meet her face to face. As a matter of fact, the founder of this radio station, I never met her face-to-face, but she knew of me through my spiritual father, which was her husband, Bishop Porter. And I'm so thankful, and I will take this to my grave, that after she heard me teach for the first time, she said, Bishop, you were right. This man is who you say he is, because I can feel it through the radio. And I take that not lightly. You know, as I was listening to Minister Diane talk, we are, and I want everyone who's listening here today, I want you to catch this, from the pulpit to the back door. We are the living evidence of the living God. And what I mean by that is how we carry ourselves and how we portray ourselves and how we interact with people. Because Jesus interacted with people. As a matter of fact, he set a precedent that he went to where the sinners were. I'm going to say that again. He went to where the sinners were. That we need to understand that inviting people to church is only one aspect of this gospel. But what we do outwardly, because Jesus also said, go into the hedges and the highways. I said all of that to say this. Now, I want you to catch this. I had my last cancer surgery on December 14th. I was in Walmart before the 14th, and I ran into a brother. Him and I got to talking about football, and he said, you know what? I perceive that you are a saved man. And Minister Diane, that made me think of Paul and King Agrippa, because the man knew what a saved person talked like. And as we conversed, I could see or feel hurt from this man, and he began to talk to me about losing two of his best friends. So two of this man's best friends died after Thanksgiving. I ministered to him in the Walmart. So moving forward, so I have my surgery. Yesterday I saw him again in the store, and we talked about football. We laughed. We hugged each other. I said, hey, brother, did you do what I told you to do to get to move through your grief session or grief challenge that you had lost two friends? Mr. Diane, the man grabbed me and started crying. And here's what he said. I knew you were a man of God when I first laid eyes on you. And this man's father is a pastor. He said, I went back to my dad and told my dad about you. And my dad said, wow. Now watch this. This man's dad did not have an answer to get him through the grief process of losing his two close friends. But he goes to the Walmart, and God walks the answer into the Walmart. My Lord, my God. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm excited about. Because I made up in my mind about 7 years ago, I made up in my mind that wherever I go, I ask God to let me be aware of what's going on in people's lives. Because you know what? When you meet the needs of somebody, they're willing to listen to you. Hello. Because Jesus did the same thing. Didn't Jesus, wherever he go, meet the needs of people? And what happened after Jesus met the needs of people? They followed him. And that's what I'm, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. So I'm thankful today to be before you again, have an opportunity to talk about God's word. And Minister Diane, as she prayed, her prayers were around and centered around people and family. Well, guess what? God has a word for you today. Turn with me to the book of Ezra, the eighth chapter. Ezra, the eighth chapter, verses 21 through 23, and I will be reading from the ESV Bible, the English Standard Version Bible. It reads as thus, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. That's what Minister Diane prayed about. My Lord, my God. She prayed about family. She prayed about people in the military. She prayed about people who were sick. And she prayed about children going to school. And she prayed about grandchildren. Well, here is in the word that Ezra called a fast and to seek from God a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. It says, for I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we had told the king, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and implored our God for this and listened to his entreaty. Wow, my Lord and my God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come now. Thank you for this moment in time, a moment in time that we take not lightly, a moment in time that you, O Master, has pre-described in our lives, that you foreknew that on this 31st day of January 2024, that we would be on this airway and that your word would be going forth. And that's the worldwide way. That's your great commission. Go ye into all the world and preach this gospel. And for this we said thank you. We thank you that this radio station spans across the globe. And I pray right now for all those who are listening, that your word touch them, that your word grabbed them, that your word enlightened them, that your word encouraged them and caused them to understand that you are God. And beside you, there is no other. That you are God, the creator, our sustainer. That you are God, the Son, our redeemer. And that you are God, the Holy Spirit, our helper. Thank you for the attributes of the Holy Spirit, that he is our comforter, that he is our advocate, that he's our intercessor, that he's our counselor, that he's our strengthener, and that he's our standby. That means, Master, that you have sent the Holy Spirit back from the day of Pentecost to stand by us, in us, and for us, my Lord, my God. And for this, we say thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So we see in our text today that Ezra proclaimed a fast for the journey. And I want to say this from the onset of this, that 2024 should be a journey, and that we need to pray and fast before our God throughout 2024. I'm going to talk about that in this lesson. I don't want to get too far ahead of it, but I feel pressed in my spirit to make it known from the onset. Amen? So let's get into this thing. Normally we are taught as ministers that when we deliver a word, we need to build the sermon, and rightfully so. But today I want to cut through the chase and get it and then build it. Are you with me? All across this nation and the world, churches began their usual New Year's fast. And that's good, because we need to fast. The Bible predicates we should do it. Jesus even took it deeper by saying in Mark 9:29, so he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Make no doubt about it, my brothers and sisters. We are in a spiritual fight. And if you follow that Mark 9:29, that's what Jesus was referring to. That we're in a spiritual battle that moves into the physical realm where we are. But make no doubt about it, there's a fight going on in the heavens right now, that the angels are fighting the imps from the devil on our behalf. And we need to understand that. And we must follow the principles of the word in order for us to stay in God's ark of safety and be on the battlefield. Because along the way, sometimes the devil will draw us into a physical fight first. And that's the wrong progression of this. This is a spiritual fight first, because the word is spiritual. Are you with me? So fasting is biblical. But there's something vitally important that precedes fasting we must do in order to humble ourselves before God, in order to fast forward. And that's what I want to talk to you about. That the topic I want to lay on you today is fasting forward. Fasting forward. So Ezra proclaimed the fast. But we need to understand what we need to do when we proclaim a fast. And that's repentance from sin. And there it is. I have cut through chase. Repentance from sin. Why is repentance so important? Repentance sets the stage for God to have the right of way. It signals to God that we have voluntarily relinquished our way of thinking in light of his in order for him to lead us. That's what Ezra did. And I find it disturbing, Minister Diane, that in the 21st century, that repentance has been placed on the back burner. And I find that disturbing, because leaders have yielded the right of way to being politically correct versus biblically correct. I know that may strike the funny bone of some people that may listen, but I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to start at the pulpit and work my way to the back of the church, because I'm a leader and I'm a pastor, and I want other ministers and leaders to know that we need to be biblically correct and not politically correct, because that's what God has commissioned us to do. Am I right about it? Now, I'm not saying that we have a right to be raggedy in our our presentation of the word and that we can say any and everything. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying for you to be offensive to people, but what I am saying is that you are required to tell the people the truth concerning God's word and make no doubt about it. You cannot get around. You cannot get to and towards the living God without repentance. And I'm going to break that down to us today because I've been saved for probably 35 years now. I've been in ministry for 28 years, and I've heard so many different renditions of repentance till it sickens me. So today, I want to make it plain to you. Are you with me? So what is repentance actually? I'm glad you asked. The word repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, and meta means mind. Oh, my Lord. So in its simplest form, repentance simply means you change your mind. There it is. There it is. You change your mind. Essentially, you are telling God that you want to go in a different direction, and you ask him to help you to choose to think about it his way as you move in his direction. So catch this here. If you change the way you think, it will change the way you feel. And the way you feel will change the way you act. In other words, it's a reversal of your mindset. And I call it making a mental U-turn. Watch this. Philippians 2 and 5 from the CEV Bible. It says, think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. Even Jesus had to get his mind on the Father. So if Jesus had to get his mind on the Father, if Jesus had to, when he was here in the earth as a man in the flesh, guide his thinking towards the Father, what about you and me? Ah, there it is. The entrance way to a fast which is influenced by God through the Holy Spirit is repentance. Fasting isn't about changing God's mind. It's about changing ours. The battle for change is won or lost in your mind. Spiritual renewal takes place in your thoughts and in your attitudes, or in other words, in your mind. Ephesians 4:23 from the NLT Bible says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Now I want you to catch this here. When we talk about the Spirit of God, you must talk about the Word of God. Because Jesus said to Peter, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So the word itself is spirit. So I want to make this real understandable and easy for you. When you talk about being attached to the Holy Spirit, when you talk about being full of the Holy Spirit, as a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16:7, after he gave the attributes of the Holy Spirit from the Amplified Bible, he said that you may be in close fellowship with him. That's new, but it's difficult. What do you mean by it's new, Pastor Bowen? I mean, we're taught to talk to the Father. We're taught to talk to Jesus. But basically, most people don't really mention the Holy Spirit unless two things are happening. One, crisis mode, something going on, something that went wrong, and we need the Holy Spirit to jump in right now with all of his presence. And two, when Easter gets here. But other than that, we don't converse with the Holy Spirit like we should. But it's biblical. It's biblical that we can talk to him because he's the third person of the eternal Godhead. So I wanted to let you catch that the Spirit renews your thoughts and attitudes through the Word. So let's sum it up before I move into our text. God doesn't just want a fast of status quo because it's a new year. He wants a fast that will cause us to dedicate ourselves in a new way consistently. He wants a fast of dedication, denial, and discipline. Not a fast just from not eating, but a change of mindset, a change of direction from the things which keep us from changing our thoughts, which hinders us from his ways. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer wrote? Let us lay aside the weight that so easily beset us. A weight is different from a sin because he mentioned both. He mentioned weight, and then he went on to mention sin. But we need to, when we fast, ask God to do both. We need to ask God to get the weight out of our way. Well, let me tap into that real quick before I go forward. A weight in your life can be a family member who always persecutes you every time they see you, but they don't go to church. They're not thinking about God, but they want to put you in a situation to make you feel uncomfortable that you have to dot every T and cross every I. That's a weight. I don't know about you. People ran around and made all these declarations and New Year's resolutions. I don't do New Year's resolutions. But I talk to God and ask God to remove things out of my life. Wow. So when I fasted, because I just ended a 21-day fast at our church this past Sunday. So we fasted for 21 days. And throughout this 21 days, I stayed right here in this Ezra. My pastor was laughing, and we were joking about it. He said, "Bolin, this Ezra has grabbed you." I said, "Yeah, because I'm serious about it." And I asked God, get the weights out of the way first. Then I can see clearly what the sin is. My Lord, my God, did you catch that? See, the devil will scramble it up that we have so many weights going on in our lives that we can't identify what sin is sometimes. But if you do it specifically and in that order, the way the Hebrew writer wrote it, after you get those weights off of you, you're going to feel a little bit lighter because you're ready to run the race. But now when you ask God to identify the sin, it's going to pop right up. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be something that you didn't think was sin that you were doing. Wow. That's the importance of repentance. Are you with me? So finally, God wants a fast that will cause us to be disciplined in our walk with him in a more consistent way. As I said, this is not about crossing every T or dotting every I, but a consistent humbleness and obedience from us that when God wants a change in us, we comply with, yes, Lord. Are you with me? In our text today, we find Ezra, who was a prophet, a priest, and a scribe. And what I want you to remember about Ezra is that he played a vital role in the spiritual health of Israel. Ezra's life is spent mainly in the role as a priest. His leadership helped generate a revival amongst the Jews as they resettled in Jerusalem from the Babylonian exile. But what I love, Minister Diane, about Ezra was his passion concerning God's word. The first five books of the Bible, known to Ezra as the Book of Moses and the Torah, which centered around how to live before God. In short, Ezra had a heart to restore through repentance from sin. He had a heart for worship. He had a heart for fasting and praying. And he had a heart for instituting that into the lives of the people of God. My Lord, my God. That even as he went before King Ezra, that the king commissioned him to go forward to Jerusalem. And we're going to get into this as I further go along. But that king commissioned him to go forward to Jerusalem and do just that. So Ezra understood repentance and fasting, proclaimed a fast based upon repentance and confession of sin and instruction. And the instruction was that we might humble ourselves before our God and to seek from him a safe journey covering the people of God, their children, and their possessions. I don't know about you, but we need that throughout the year 2024, that we need God to protect us. We need God to protect our children, our grandchildren, and our possessions. Thank you, Minister Diane, for praying that prayer. So I want to lift and teach three things from this context of Ezra the 8th chapter. I want to lift dedication, denial, and discipline from this word. Are you with me? So Ezra said, then I proclaimed a fast there. A proclamation involves yet a dedication to something. And as we see here, the proclamation involves here from Ezra a dedication to a fast. But what I want you to catch here with Ezra is that Ezra did and what he did after proclaiming the fast. Let's look at verses 15 through 17 from the English Standard Version, the ESV, chapter 8. Here's what Ezra did. As I reviewed the people and the priests, I found there none of the sons of Levi. Then I sent for Eleazar, Ariah, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Musalam, leading men, and for Joarib and Elnathan, who were men of insight, and sent them to Adu, the leading man at the place of Cassithia, telling them what to say to Adu and his brother, and the temple servants at the place Cassithia, namely to send us ministers for the house of our God. Look at God. Look at God's man getting things in order. So Ezra sent for the preachers first. You've got to catch this here, because when God desires to move his people forward through fasting and praying, he wants the preachers to be set in order first. I'm going to make it personal. He wants Pastor Bolin to be set in order first. If there's any pastors listening, if there's any ministers listening, this Ezra piece here is very important to the life of the church and to you as leaders. Because Ezra looked out, and the first thing he noticed was that there was no priest in the camp because they had been in exile. So the first thing he did was sent to get the preachers back to where they were. My Lord, my God. I want you to grab this for a minute, that when you're going through and things get dark, how would you view it if you couldn't go hear preaching during that time? Because that's what happened. Ooh, Lord, my Lord. Yeah, Ezra was the prophet down there with them in Babylon, in the exile, but it was nobody else there who was a priest. So he sent to bring the priest back. He sent some people to go get the preachers and get them back. And we're going to find out what he did with that. So if we jump down to verse 24, we see that Ezra made another declaration in a specific way in which we must pay attention to. He said, then I set apart 12 of the leading priests. Set apart. So he went and sent for the preachers. Then when they got back, he set them apart. And look at it. He set the preachers apart first. Before he got to dealing with the people, he set the preachers apart first. That's right. And that's what needs to be done. So let's get into this set-apart thing. I say this to all pastors and ministers who may be listening today. The number 24 is a biblical number. It has a biblical meaning. And I wish I had time to really dive into it. But basically, it's derived by 12 and 2. Well, you ought to recognize 12 because 12 is the 12 tribes of Israel. And yet that two attachment, when you look out through the Bible, and you see 12 and attachment of things to 12, 12 times 2 is 24. So in short, I believe the blueprint for leadership to follow throughout 24 is right here in Ezra, the 8th chapter, and it involves being set apart. Leadership must keep themselves set apart for God throughout this entire year because of what verse 21 says. That we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. I'm a pastor, and I'll throw myself up under the bus first, because I did it for 21 days. I humbled myself before God. I sought God concerning the weights that may have been besetting me, and I sought God about sin that may be in my life that I didn't know I was committing. And Minister Diane, God did just that. And he dropped this Ezra into my spirit. Are you with me? So I want leaders to catch this here. I asked the ministers at our church to pick one day a month for the rest of this year to set themselves apart before God, just like Ezra did in this verse 21. And yet they asked the question. They said, why? It's right here in front of us. So that we could seek from God a safe journey. Do you want a safe journey for your family for 2024? I don't know about you, but I do, because I love my wife. I love my daughter. And Sister Diane already know how I love my grandson, and everybody else in the ministry knows that too. They know that I love DJ beyond a shadow of a doubt. And when I introduce my family, catch this here, Minister Diane. Old Reverend Bowen know how to get brownie points after 40 years of marriage. When I was introduced to this ministry, the first thing I said is, my wife is my queen, my daughter is my princess, but DJ got my heart. DJ has, as he called me, Peepaw's heart. Now, let me make it biblical for you. Back in the Bible day, when you got the king's heart, you could get anything from the king. That's who DJ is to me. And I want him to know that as he grow up. So that's why this is a prescription. This is a blueprint for the entire year for us as leaders to keep our family safe, to keep the family of God safe, to keep their children safe, their grandchildren safe, and all their goods. I'm going to read this later from the Amplified Bible. It means possession. So whatever God has blessed you with, don't you want it protected from the enemy? I know I do. Are you with me? So I ask the leaders to pick a day out of the month and humble themselves for God, before God. So let's keep moving on through this Ezra the 8th chapter. It says, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him. So there it is. If you want your church and your pastor and all who is willing to humble themselves before God to prosper, and prosper as mentioned in the first epistle of John is not just talking about money, but talking about being advanced towards God's purpose as your soul is advanced towards God's purpose for your life, a.k.a. my topic for the day, fasting forward in 2024. Then the formula, if you will, is if you follow what Ezra is instructing in this entire 8th chapter. Are you with me? So in verse 23, he says, so we fasted and implored our God for this, and he listened to our entreaty. Look at this from the Amplified Bible. Listen at this. It says, so we fasted and sought help from our God concerning this matter, my Lord, my God, and he heard our plea. So let's talk about this set-apart thing, because it's important that Ezra sought help from their God, and they were about to make a journey. We about to make a journey. Am I right? We're only in January. We have another 11 months to go, and we don't know what's in front of us, but God do. Am I right about it? That's why I put that Mark 9 and 29 in there, that Jesus said, these things come by much fasting and praying. And the thing that he was talking about was spiritual matters, the spiritual fight that we face that's in front of us for 2024. We need help from our God concerning this matter. Are you with me? So set apart, it's important. Set apart actually comes from the word holiness. Holiness for believers in God means we are set apart from the world as God's own people. You've heard it. It's not us being better. It's not us being a holier-than-thou thing. It's about separation from the world's way of thinking and doing things. And this involves my first word that I want to pull out of this, dedication. Let's examine some scripture concerning set-apart. Deuteronomy 7 and 6 from the ESV Bible, the English Standard Version Bible. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. You see who God say we are? The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people. There it is again. For his treasured possession. Wow. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now I want you to catch this here. God created everybody. The scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. And here is Moses telling the people what God thinks of them. He said, you are a holy people before the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you out of everybody on the planet. It's 8 billion people on the planet. And God has chosen you, those who have accepted him as Lord, God, and Savior, those who acknowledge him as being God the Creator and Sustainer. Those who acknowledge him as being God the Son, our Redeemer, and those who acknowledge him as being God the Holy Spirit, you have been set apart out of all the people on the face of the earth. So catch this here. When the Lord picked you, he knew your faults too. Oh, that's the reason right there to give God praise. I'm going to say that again, Minister Diane. When the Lord picked you, he knew your faults too. Let me make it plainer. And let me make it personal. Because God handpicked me, he made available to me his grace, favor, and mercy, so that through my humble submission to him, my faults may be negated in his sight through Christ Jesus, who presents us faultless to the Father, so I could be set apart to and for him, my Lord, my God. Because that's what the Bible says, that Jesus presents us faultless to the Father. Are you with me? Exodus 19, 5 through 6, ESV Bible. Now, therefore, if you, that's personal, will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of a priest and a holy nation, that's set apart. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So God told Moses to tell them. And this Exodus 9 chapter, we all know that it went into what? The commandments. Ah, do you see it? Obey my voice is obedient, and keep my covenant is dedication. My Lord and my God, look at God. Then, you got to see it. Didn't Ezra say then? God is saying, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, a.k.a. set apart. Are you with me? This is instruction, which is teaching. Minister Diane, I've made up in my mind for 2024 that God has set me apart as a teacher, and I am determined to walk in it all I know how for 2024. Why? I walk in both lanes because I'm a preacher and a teacher. Because preaching inspires us to believe in God, so we need preaching. But teaching instructs us on how to live for and through God by Christ Jesus. So we need teaching. And I thank God, Minister Diane, because the pastor that I'm with now, we both got ordained by the same man, so we came up in ministry together. And when I introduced him to that, here's what I said to him. I said, sometimes, Pastor, we as ministers, we as people and followers of God, we can suffer from information overload. What did he mean by that, preacher? That's what he said. What you mean, preacher? I said, what I mean is we get a fresh message week by week. And that's good because the word of God is coming forth. But I want to ask a question. What do you have in place to ensure that they understood the first message that you gave before you went to week two? And you know what his response was, Minister Diane? Wow. All I'm saying is that before you move on to the next message, make sure that people grab the first one. Because if not, the next 3 weeks becomes information overload from Sunday to Sunday. He said, my Lord, my God. So guess what he did during this 21-day fast, Mr. Diane? He gave us this Ezra 8 and 21 through 23 as a fast, and then he broke it down. Wow. Through the 21-day period in Bible study. That's what I'm talking about. Pastors, the Bible says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and he gave. So that's the order. God gave the pastors, evangelists, teachers. But look at what it says at the end of that, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfection comes through teaching. Preaching simply inspires, but perfecting comes through teaching. Are you with me? So say this with me. Set apart, set apart, set apart. Let's look at Leviticus 20 and 26. you shall be holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. Wow. You see who you belong to? Can I ask this question? Do you believe you are who God said you are through his word? Or do you believe who the world says you are? Because society has a definition of who they think you are. It's called a label. Am I right about it? I'm going to throw this country under the bus. That in America, we are labeled by your ethnicity. Huh? I'm going to leave that right there. I can dive into it. But you are labeled by your ethnicity, and now they're trying to label you by your gender by adding another gender. My Lord, my God. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but that's a sore spot for me, Minister Diane. God said he created male and female. Am I right about it? And I'm going to stand up and say just that. So I'm going to leave it alone just for this minute. But the mindset of worldly people wants to redefine your gender. God has made male and female, and there is no in-between, and that's that. So if you hear anything else about this preacher, Minister Diane, I ain't for that in-between, and that's that. But remember this, because the enemy is an accuser of the brethren. The devil accuses us. Now watch this. The devil always run to God and accuse God when we mess up. But you are not that bad moment or decision in time. You are a sum of decisions. In other words, one decision does not define me, but my lifestyle does. And I'm going to show you that through the word. So God is saying, I'm setting you apart for a lifestyle in me through my word. Why? Because in the beginning was the word. And that's why I learned the word of God. Heaven and earth going to pass away. But what's not going to pass away? God's word. Are you with me? Number 6, 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when neither a man nor a woman, then notice God didn't have an in-between. He identified man and woman, makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself from the Lord. Wow. I want you to remember that there. A Nazarite, when you make a vow, that's dedication, denial. Wow, there it is right there. That's dedication and denial. Verse 3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar made from wine or strong drink, and shall not drink any juice of grapes or eat grapes, fresh or dried. All the days of his separation, they're set apart. He shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, not even the seed or the skins. Now, I just want to give this to you because you'd have to do a deep dive into get into the culture of understanding why he kept mentioning the grapes. Because grapes, when they ferment, they turn into alcohol, and you have to watch out how they're fermented. And that's basically what he was telling these Nazarites. Are you with me? So, wow, that's a fast. That's a separation. That's denial. And that's a lifestyle. Say this with me again. Set apart, set apart, set apart. Leviticus 20, 7 through 8. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 8. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Wow. There it is in the word. Holiness is a set apart lifestyle that will bless your life. Why? Because this shows God you are seeking his heart. Wow. That reminds me of our favorite character that we talk about all the time, David. And everybody's always quick to say David was a man after God's own heart. But let me give you the whole a little bit of input about David. David screwed up a whole bunch. He had 3 major screw-ups before God. And I got to tell you, one of them made me laugh, Minister Diane. That God told David not to number the people, and he went and did it anyway. And God gave him a choice of punishment. And you know what that crazy David did? He said, I don't choose neither of them. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't choose none of what God said God was going to put on him. He said, I choose your mercy. Good God Almighty. Isn't that something? You got to know who God is in order to fly up in God's face like that. He put God's character back on God. I know I did wrong. I know I messed up. But I also know this. Your mercy, good God Almighty, is greater than anything I can have from you. So what did God give him? You know what God gave him. So that's what I'm talking about. When you jump up and say, oh, yeah, I want to be like David, a man after God's own heart, you better make sure you understand what you're asking for. Because when you make that declaration, God is going to now look at you to seek his heart. That's another study for another time. Let's move on. Joshua 3 and 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Well, I want you to, did you catch that there? When we sanctify ourselves through fasting, praying, and setting ourselves apart from God, the word says the Lord will do wonders among you. Wow. You hear that, Minister Diane? You hear that, listeners? We always want God to do wonders before us. But are we willing to do what God prescribed for us to do in order for those wonders to appear? My Lord, my God. During this 21-day fast, and I shared this with my pastor, in John, the second chapter, we know the story. It's the story of Jesus in Cana at the wedding feast. And we are so used to hearing it preached that he turned water into wine. But I want to introduce to you verse 11. It says, this he did, good God Almighty. That's what the words say, Minister Diane. This he did to put his glory on display. And in the Amplified Bible, it lays out what it is, his deity, his signs, miracles, and wonders, and his mighty power. And at the end of that, it shows who it was for. It says, and his disciples, I'm excited about this thing. That thing sparked a fire in me. The word says, and the disciples confidently followed him as the Messiah. And that was the first miracle he did. When they saw it, they knew it because they knew the three signs of the Messiah. But Jesus did that so that his followers would not doubt him. So I'm not excited about the water and the wine anymore. I'm excited that God, that Jesus put his glory, his deity on display. And that's what God was telling Joshua. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. I'm expecting God to do wonders throughout every single month of this year. You know why? Because I have made a decree with the Lord that I'm going to fast once a month, just like Ezra did in this eighth chapter. And you know what I know, Minister Diane? That when we put God's word before him, God must honor his word. He said, I must remain faithful to him, to myself. Am I right about it? I'm going to make it even more personal. When he made the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham in Genesis, the 12th chapter, the Hebrew writer picked it up in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 13, and said these words. But when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. I want to say something here. I have not seen any other covenant. There are eight major covenants that I know of in the Bible. But the Abrahamic covenant is the only one that I know that the living God swore by and took an oath over. And what is that Abrahamic covenant? In blessing you, I will bless you. In multiplying you, that I will multiply you. Now catch this here, that you may be a blessing unto the people. God bless us. God do wonders amongst us so we can take it to the world. It's not for you in a personal way to sit on it and hold it for yourself. But God wants it displayed to the world. I ask this question. As I prepare to calm myself down and close this thing, I ask this question. If the world don't see miracles and wonders coming from the people of God, where are they going to get it from? It's tight, but it's right. So I want you to catch that. I don't know about you, but I need God to do wonders in my life. And guess what? God has. And I got evidence, Minister Diane. In 2023, I had cancer twice. And you know what the Lord told the devil twice? Not so. I'm not going to let you take him out that way. Didn't you get the memo the first time? I'm his God. Now, what I want you to catch here and what God revealed to me is and the enemy has messed people up in it, because I heard the question asked. Well, if God healed you, why did something else happen? Because the enemy's job is to attack us. That's why. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's John 10 and 10. That's his M.O. That's who he is. So if the devil attacks you again after God has healed you, that same God that healed you before can run him off again. You know why? Because he wants the devil to get the message. This person is mine. I have set them apart as a holy people to me. You can't have him. Ain't that what he told him when he went to Job? Job only served you because you got the head around him. He said, okay, I'm going to take the head down. Touch everything you got. But Job belongs to me. That's what I'm talking about. This thing is yet personal and is yet corporate. We have the blueprint set before us, pastors. We have the blueprint set before us, ministers, in Ezra, the 8th chapter. I know God is going to send another word, but I urge you, I implore you to set yourself aside once a month. Because Jesus said, these things come by much fasting and praying. Can you give God one day a month? Because we want God to do so much. Can you give him one day a month so he can act through the principles and ordinances and statutes of his word? In other words, his promises. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm sure I made my mind up I'm going to do it. So let's keep going with this thing. Lastly, Joshua 7 and 13 from the Living Bible. Get up. Tell the people. Y'all hear that, preachers? Each of you must undergo purification rites in preparation for the mob. Now, I'm going to make it real clear. That includes you, too. I know there's some leaders might be out there, and I done seen them. They want to put stuff on the people and don't do it themselves. Well, that's what the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes did. Moses gave them 10 commandments. They're going to add 600 more. They couldn't keep the 10. My Lord, my God. So each of you must undergo purification rites in preparation for tomorrow. For the Lord your God of Israel says that someone has stolen from him, and you cannot defeat your enemies until you deal with this sin. My Lord, my God, didn't I say that in the beginning? Isn't that what Ezra did in the beginning? He set the people apart. He looked out amongst the people and said, hey, go get the priest. And when the priest got back down there, he pulled them 12 guys to the side and said, hey, y'all going to consecrate yourselves too, and you're going to repent from your sins first. For we even go anywhere. For we take a step going toward Jerusalem. You're going to repent first. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I'm in the word. It sounds rough. It sounds tight, but it is right. God don't want sin in the camp. So we must repent, because God will not bless a fast until sin is remissed through repentance. You can fast all you want to, but if you didn't get repentance up there first, okay, good luck with it. That's all I'm going to say. So I don't want you to be fooled about this thing. Sin is always around. Sin is in the world. This is why the beloved disciple John wrote in his epistle, if any man sin. Why did John write that? Because sin is available. The devil trying to keep it before you. And he wants you to put your hand to it. He can't make you sin, but he puts it in front of you. He wants you to choose it. That's why John put that there. That we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is just and righteous to forgive us from all manner of sin. You know what, Minister Diane? It's a funny thing when I hear people talk. I heard a story a couple of years ago where I go get my hair cut, and I knew this pastor. And this guy come in, said, y'all hear about this particular preacher? He got caught stealing money out of the church fund. And you know what he said, Minister Diane. What you think about that preacher? So I'm going to tell you what I think about that. I don't care about it. He said, excuse me, I know it messed him up. I said, I don't care about it. Whether he did it or not, where is your proof that he did it? And then he couldn't say nothing. I said, you're running off of hearsay. And that's what the problem is in the church. People are running off of hearsay. But here's what I said to that guy. He still can repent and get right before God from what he did. And he shut his mouth up. Isn't that funny? Everybody else can go and do what they want to do and get repented from sin, but the preacher can't. No, the Bible don't read that way. I'm not saying you got a license to sin, Pastor. You don't. There's no license to sin. Sin is simply sin. But if you do miss the mark, repentance is your way back to God. And that's it. That's plain and simple. Am I right about it? So I want you to catch this here as I begin and prepare to close out. That we grasp the importance of repentance. That we have a biblical understanding of what holiness is and being set apart. So as I said for the topic for this teaching here, fasting forward. I heard a few people say when I talked about it, fast forward. No, I didn't say fast forward. I said fasting forward because these things, that's what Jesus said, these things come by much fasting and prayer. These things, these spiritual wars that are in front of us for February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, they're there. They're there. You're in a war. But we have weapons in our spiritual warfare called the Word. That's our spiritual weapon. And when we set ourselves apart to use God's spiritual weapon, I want you to catch this here, God defends us. Isn't that what Ezra asked up front? I sought from the Lord that he may protect our families, our children, and our goods. My Lord, my God, that even throughout this eighth chapter, that as he went before the king, and I want you pastors to read it, because it's in there that God was so for what Ezra did because he did it right. He got the repentance up first. And you know what God did? God touched the king. I want you pastors and ministers to get into this thing from the Amplified Bible. Read down through it, because Ezra gathered up the silver, the gold, the utensils, everything that had a value. But I want to ask a question, and I did this with my very own pastor. I said, they were in exile. They were slaves. Do people in jail get silver and gold? Do people in jail get payments like that? Where did the gold come from? It came from the king. It came from the king. And when you get down toward the end of the chapter, it says not only did the king put his money in, he told his counselors to put their money in, and he told the Lord to put their money in. Now, I want you to catch this because this makes my pastor excited about it. After he told everybody to put their money in, he wrote a decree, Minister Diane, and sent a decree out to the providence of the Euphrates. So he sent it all around the region. I want everybody to give their money to this priest to help the cause for them to go back to Jerusalem. What are you saying, preacher? That after they fasted, after they set themselves apart, after they sought God, because Ezra said in verse 23 that God heard her. And you know how you know God hear you? God gives evidence of it. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. God gives evidence of it, Minister Diane. God gave me evidence throughout 2023. I'm not letting the devil take you out from cancer. And he didn't. That's why I'm here running my mouth today. That's why I'm excited about it. And God gave Ezra the same evidence that at the end of this chapter, you see it there, that he gave, the king told everybody to put their money in, and sent out a decree demanding that everybody else put their money in. In other words, when they got to Jerusalem, Minister Diane, they were rich. My Lord, my God. There's a place like that that says, thank you, God. That God, when God gives purpose, God funds his purpose. Woo! I'm going to say that again. When God gives us a purpose, God funds his purpose. I want you to dig into this thing. I still couldn't get into all of what I wanted to get into, but I got the part out that God wanted me to get out. And I love this thing, and it's still on me. In verse 31, in Ezra 8 and 31, as I prepare to close, it says, we set out from the river Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. He said that earlier. And he rescued us from the hand of the enemy. Hold on, I want you to catch this here.
First, he asked God for his protection. Here we see God gave that protection. And he said, and those who lay ambushes along the way. You don't know what ambushes the devil has laid for you along the way for the rest of this year. But God do. And if we do what Ezra did, we're going to get the same results that Ezra did. Watch this. At the end of the year, our pastor made a decree that he asked the Lord to pay off the mortgage for the church. Here is the blueprint for that, right here. And when I showed it to him, Minister Diane, he went Holy Ghost crazy. He ran through the church. He ran through the church screaming hallelujah. Why? Watch this. It's in the Word. Verse 35 talks about the money. Then verse 36 says, and they delivered the king's edicts to the king's satraps, his lieutenants, his people, and the governors west of the Euphrates River, and they supported the people and God's house. Watch this here. My pastor, I live in the state of Virginia. He's friends with one of our delegates here. And our delegate took him to meet the governor of Virginia. And the governor has invited my pastor to two meetings concerning the state of Virginia and the welfare of Virginia. That's the table my pastor sit at. Let me make it biblical for you. In the Bible day, you could not sit at the king's table unless he invited you. But everybody knew once you got that invite, you had the king's packet. Oh, my Lord, my God. And when I showed that to my pastor, I'm showing this to every pastor who is listening. God will connect you to the people who will pour into your ministry. Woo, my Lord, my God. Isn't that something? And they supported the people and God's house. I want y'all to catch that. That the king made his people pour into Israel's pocket. And he sent out a decree making everybody else do it. Can't nobody do that but a God. So I told my pastor, your connection with the governor throughout this year, and by the way, I did a research on all of what this money was and the silver and what it all added up to. In today's standard, it equals to $1.4 million. I want to ask you again, Pastor. Yeah, I'm hard on y'all today because I'm hard on myself because I got the formula in front of you. What would you do with $1.4 million? In your ministry, fasting forward, the formula is in front of us. I suggest to you, I implore to every pastor and every minister listening, if you want the people of God to be blessed, set yourself apart one day a month, whatever day you pick, and do what Ezra did, fast and pray the way Ezra did, and you'll see the results. I'm not promising the results. The word of God is. So watch this. You can hold God to it. And pray the simple prayer like I did. Lord, we did what Ezra did. We expect you to do what you did for Ezra because God has no respect for persons. Fasting forward. Do you want to go forward in God for 2024? I do because 24 has a significance before God. I implore you to do a dive into that. That's your homework. Do a dive into what 24 means to God and then attach it to Ezra into the hands of Minister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let me say first, I thank God for that awesome word that you brought forth. And I'm here to tell you, Pastor Bowen, I was one of them when you gave me that topic, fasting forward, am I? Fasting forward? Did he mean fast forward? I said, you know what? He said fasting forward. I will know what it means when he come on here on Wednesday to give the word. But it did have me puzzled for a minute. And I was like, okay, use him, Lord. So I thank you for clarifying. I thank you for making it known. I thank you for allowing God to use you today. And amen. I also would like for you to give your information about your church, anyone in that area, you know, they can come there. And also, before you go off, I would like you to do an altar call for, you know, those that are listening.
Amen. Amen. Our church address and the name of our ministry is the House of Victory, Fredericksburg, Virginia. We're located at 15 Deacons Road, Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I am thankful to be with this man of God. He's so excited. He's been telling his people about me. As a matter of fact, Minister Diane, he let the secret out. Because he's only moved into this new building for 6 years, man. God has done so much for him to renovate this place. And he said, I introduce to you the man, the myth, the legend. He said, this is my secret. This is my go-to guy that I talk to when I need a word from the Lord, because I trust this man concerning the word. And that blessed my heart, Minister Diane. So those of you who have listened today, I can't let it go. It's burning in my heart about pastors and ministers. It's okay that if you believe that you have not made the mark of God, that's okay, because all of us miss it. But we can repent and get back in God. So I'm going to make an altar call and yet prayer. If you're that person who wants to get closer to God through fasting and praying, let's set the record straight first. Let's get our repentance up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now in the volume of your word, because you said that your word would not go out and return void unto me, but that your word would accomplish, pleases you, and prosper whereto you send it. I just sent your word out today, Lord. And this radio station is worldwide. So for everyone who is listening on this call today, and that your word has touched their hearts through understanding, that consecration means that we can repent and get right with you and have a change of mind, a change of thought, a change of will, and a change of ways. I offer your people up to you now through repentance, that you make yourself known to them, that their repentance was sincere by letting them see you in act. Because Ezra said at the end of this fast, and God rescued us because his hand was upon us. That's right, Master. You always let your people see that your hand is upon them. So for every pastor, for every minister, for every believer, saint that is listening here today who repents from this, concerning this message, repent with understanding. Rescue them. That's the 91st Psalm. We're refugees, and we're your refugees, and we need to be rescued. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen and amen. I just thank God for this awesome man of God, and not just him. Every man and woman of God that's standing on his word, don't mind preaching or teaching his word that comes on this broadcast. May God continue to bless them. And this is not just the only broadcast that bring forth the word of God. There is others out there. No one person have the word. All I'm saying to you all today, take heed to the word. Each and every time you hear it, each and every time you read the word, amen, because we serve an awesome, powerful God. He is merciful, he's loving, and he is a forgiving God. You heard the word today. Apply the word to your life today, amen. Join us tomorrow, that's Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, be blessed. Remember, tell a friend.
Have to cry. I stop worrying.
Worrying how the story ends.
When I let go.
I let go.
And
I let God.
Let him have.
Let God have his
way. That's when things
start
happening. Struggle from day to day. I had to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I had to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright. Yeah. God, my sister, you can't handle it. Let God.